Well, I just took it. I mean, I was out here.
Yeah, well, leave it.
You know, see, I got the dream.
See, that's a cue. That would be my cue.
Just go back in the memory bank.
That would be my cue.
Yeah, if it's go back in the memory bank. The only thing about it, the bank, the door is torn up.
Huh?
The door is torn up. But I got a bank, I mean, it's got a double lock on it.
Only thing
about it. Only thing about it is a double lock. The bolt is locked.
Go back there.
You know, and there's not so much you can do anyway.
He's a rock.
How about
in the riverland?
At a shelter?
Shelter.
In the time of storm.
Well, if you know what it's going to be, why don't you go ahead and
live it? Of the thousand.
Right?
Right.
And more than 30 fathoms to 10,000.
Yeah.
Father. How about in the rain?
Mind regulator.
Let's try it in the rain.
Heart face.
No, but I didn't come to preach a sermon. I just come here to tell you.
Whoever listens to this tape, you're going to hear a little bit of good music on the front of it, because I was recording y'all when you were just practicing right over here. This is Doris Dion, and it's March 19th, 1983. We're going to record a short interview with Willie Wright and with Ted Brooks, both of whom were members of the original Royal Harmony Four in Jacksonville, and then the group went on to become the Royal Harmony Singers and then the CBS Jubilaires in New York. I'm just going to ask you questions from over here, and it'll pick up.
Right.
First of all, Mr. Wright, why don't you just say what your full name is and when you were born and where you were born?
Well, my name is Willie S. Wright. I was born in Jacksonville, Florida. My birth is 10/15/12, and right now I'm sitting in this chair at the age of 70. We, the Royal Harmony Four, was organized in Jacksonville, Florida. The members was Theodore Brooks, Elijah Wright, J.C. Ginyard, and Willie Wright. We went through many hard trials and tribulations. We sang in different parts of Florida, such as Daytona Beach, Apopka, Gainesville, and so many other parts of Florida. But Jacksonville was our headquarters. We broadcast over WMBR every day. And we were well known all over the United States. And I have to mention this because we went to Tallahassee, Florida, the capital of Florida. And we sang there. Oh, we had people lined up in the streets going to our program. During that time, we rehearsed every day from 3 to 4 and sometimes 5 hours. And it was so wonderful. And we got along so sweet with each other. And now I'm going to let our baritone, Theodore Brooks.
Before you let him talk, tell me about driving a cab.
Oh, yeah. On the cab line, we drove the New Deal and Lincoln cab. I think Brooks drove the New Deal. I drove the Lincoln, and Gilliard drove the New Deal. And Elijah Wright, he couldn't drive, so he didn't drive a cab. Maybe Brooks would take him around and ride around with him a while, and he'd get in my cab and ride around with me a while. And we would ride until time for our program. We would pick up our cab at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and our program began at 8 or 8:30 at night. We would drive cab until that time. And then that time came up for us to go to that church. We were there. We parked our cabs, dressed in our uniform, and we went to church, and we all went to the banister, and we prayed before we sang. And then we got up and we went and sit on the pulpit, and our theme song was Precious Lord, Take My Hand, Lead Me Home, Let Me Stand. And during that time, me and Brooks, we stood very close together. I used to love to sing behind him better than I did behind Gilliard, because Brooks had more of a jumping temper of, you know, singing.
What voice parts did y'all sing?
Well, Brooks was a baritone, and I was a tenor, and Gilliard was the leader, and Elijah was bass. And we went on like that for years. We went to Philadelphia. We got in Philadelphia. I'll never forget this. We went to KYW 1619 Walnut Street. And we sit there for about 3 or 4 days waiting on somebody to ask us what did we want. So finally a big, tall, gray-headed man came by, and he said, "What are you fellas sitting up here for?" So Charlie got up, our manager. He said, "We came here for an audition." So then the man said, "Well, wait a minute, I'll be right back." So I said, "Brooks, soon as he come back," I said, "hit gospel train." I said, "Let him hear us before we go into." And so Brooks, soon as he saw him coming back up the aisle in the station, Brooks threw up his hand and said, "My Lord, she go, pop, pop." And the man stopped and looked at us. He said, "So y'all sound all right." So he called one of the announcers, and he sent us into the studio. So he had us to sing three numbers. So I think Brooks sung Gospel Train and Gilliard sang Little Wooden Church on the Hill. And then I think our bassist sang, he didn't sing it, but he bassed it. It was Please Don't Drive My Children Away. And we used to sing them songs. And later on, after we stayed on there a while, they gave us a program at night they called Night Dreams, something like a handed program. We'd talk all kind of, hello there, who are you? This is Lodger Wright. And I would get so tickled, I'd laugh on the program. And Brooks would hunch me and say, shut up, yeah. Well, we had a wonderful time. And our theme song when we first met, David, oh, look at there, ain't she pretty? Oh, look at there, ain't she sweet? Look at the eyes, look at the clothes, look at the eyes. Boy, ain't she a beauty? So we sang that, and we got well known around Philadelphia, all over in the suburban, the suburban towns. And that. So. Oh, yes. We got to a filling station. We didn't know anything about antifreeze that goes in your cars. And now we was about out of gas and we didn't have no money. So the car was about to burn up and we pulled up into the station. And in the meantime, we know we didn't have no money. So I don't know whether it was me or Charlie. When the man come back to the car, told Brooks to hit a number. And Brooks jumped right up and started singing. And the man filled our car with gas and give us antifreeze and be motored on into Philadelphia. And we got Cheryl right down, I think it was Girard Avenue. And ice was about that thick. I think I was driving, if I'm not sure. But anyway, the car slid over, and if it hadn't have been for this iron banister there, we'd have went over in, was it Schuylkill River? We went over into Schuylkill River. And our first residence was 1704 Cambridge Street. That's where we went when we first came to Philadelphia.
Mr. Wright, can you tell us when the Royal Harmony 4 was first ordered? What year?
No, maybe he can tell you because...
No, it's quite a ways.
It's right? Quite a ways because that was...
34 or 35, in, something that
he did. Yeah, because we left here in 39 to go to Philadelphia. Yeah.
How did the group get organized? Who decided to do it?
Well, J.C. Ginyard, the leader. And then Elijah Wright. Then Willie Wright. And then Theodore Brooks. We went to Green Coast Spring we had a program in Green Coast Spring, which that's where he was living. And according to my remembrance, he heard us sing, and he wanted to join us. And Brooks came on back to Jacksonville along with us, and we never did bus up. We stuck together.
Did y'all have Reverend Fountain was telling me when we interviewed some of the other folks a couple of weeks ago that there was a trainer that he worked with. Did y'all ever work with a trainer?
Yes, well, we had a music teacher. I forget his name, but he taught us music here in was it here, Brooks?
In Philadelphia. Mr. Osborne.
That's right. That
Osborne.
Was
Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
And he, Street.
Yep. And he taught us music. And we sang with him for quite a while.
So you don't remember. How did you start singing as a boy?
Did I start? Well, I was living on Jackson Street in Brooklyn. And I heard Gilliard and Elijah, they were singing a duet. And I got interested in the two. And they asked me, could I sing tenor? So I told them, yeah, I said, I think I can. And so I got with them and we sang together and sang together. So finally we met another guy named Johnny Gordon. He sang baritone for us. And after Johnny Gordon, we had a fellow by the name of Son Mac. He used to play guitar for us. And we wasn't broadcasting then, but we were just learning, So after then, we would go to rehearsals of this like Paul Fountain. He came by there on Jackson Street and he heard us rehearsing. And he said, I wonder who's that tenor singer? Say, he's something. Say, I got to see him. And I didn't know he was talking about me. So he finally liked our group. And then, so we got together with him and he had a group and we rehearsed together and, you know, just hang around together. And
that was
right here in Jacksonville. And after Brooks came up, then Brooks came here and Brooks was working for
Wadesboro Water Company.
Yeah.
Out of Orange Park, delivering water, you know, 5 gallons of water and so on.
Did you ever know Miss
Bannister? Oh, yes, we know her. She used to sing with us. She used to broadcast with us at KYW in Philadelphia. But she was under the name of Mrs. Ethel Davenport. So. Well, my brother, he could play tenor guitar, he could play ukulele, he could play guitar, and he could sing. I don't know whether you want this on this program or not, but he was put in jail for something he did. And he had asked his mother to bring him a ukulele down to the jailhouse. And they carried it down there, and he took the guitar, and he played his way out of jail. So the jailer told him, said, boy, you don't need to be in jail making that kind of music. He said, we'll put you out of here and let you get out there and do something with that ukulele. Well, he was good on all three of them. He played tenor, banjo, and guitar, and ukulele. But he never did, get up in the world such as making records and so forth. But see, Brooks, Theodore Brooks, Elijah Wright, J.C. Gaillard, and Willie Wright, when we left here, we was broadcasting for KYW, and they heard us in New York. And they called KYW. They wanted to buy us from KYW.
KYW is in Philadelphia.
Yes. And we left Philadelphia and went to New York to Decca Recording Company. And we recorded 3 records, if I'm not mistaken. I know one was Gospel Train because Brooks sang that. And I think Gilliard sang Little Wooden Church on the Hill. And I think Brooks come back with Traveling Shoes. Those were the 3 recordings we made, the first and the last. So, and Charlie Neeson was right there with us. He was our manager. Everywhere we went, he was with us. And sometimes Charlie would go ahead of us and book programs and tell us where to stop. You know, sometimes he'd leave Jacksonville and go down to Apopka, Florida, Gainesville, Leesville, and
Leesburg,
and book program for us and call us up and tell us where the first and second and third program and we just travel like that until we got, we went all over Florida. We stayed in Tallahassee about 4 weeks, didn't we?
Yeah.
For our 4 weeks.
How many nights would you usually stay away when you were on tour?
Well, we would stay just like when we went to Spartanburg. We stayed in Spartanburg and drift around our sketch of town, you know, different. In the same way we would do that anywhere we go. Because, see, otherwise we would.
In that time where you were pretty much based in Jacksonville, but
This was our headquarters. In fact, I think WMBR had recordings made of us, had records made of us. And when we was out of town, they'd play the records.
They'd always
have a program put up for us to broadcast when we was away. Well, we went to name of the town.
Well, say in Jacksonville itself, like what kind of location?
Well, we went all the way to Daytona Beach. We went to Apopka. We went to Leesburg. I think I said that before, but just like
so
I said.
Speaking of while you're here in Jacksonville, She wanted to know the different places we sang. You know, like said a gentleman that was a promoter for Southern Dairy, Mr. Jack.
Yeah, Bardu. Jack.
Remember
Jack
him?
Duke. Yeah, Jack Duke.
Well, you know, we was the first colored quartet that ever sang in the White Hotels here. And other than our daily, or to me, three times a week broadcast from WMBR, we were began so famous through Mr.
Duke,
Jack R. Duke. He decided to try us in different places. I mean, that is to open the door, however you want to call it. And the first hotel we sang to was the George Washington Hotel.
Right.
I was on conventions and druggist conventions and so on. The next time, next hotel we sang was the Mayflower. We sang there several times. Now, these different hotels we sang there more than once. You know, it depends upon the convention and as to say, even at advertiser for Southern Dairy. So naturally, he was had music and for the convention. And he put on a lot of advertisement for the type of product that he, you know,
yeah.
And then we would go with him. We went with him several times downstate to different conventions, such as Tampa and St. Petersburg and so on. He used to take us down there to different...
Singing Pensacola.
Pensacola, yes, indeed. We had to go... Oh, it was so beautiful. The only thing in the water, we hate to go. It takes so long to get across the water. I hadn't seen a bridge that long in the first place in St. Petersburg. Anyway, then the other hotel we sang to, the gentleman hired us from the station to become singing waiters at the Seminole Hotel. And we sang, start singing at 5, from 5 to 7, during the dinner hour. Now, after that, then we had to go downstairs to the, shall we say, to the lounge. And we sang there until 4 o'clock in the morning. We had our uniforms, white and red, you know, white and red and so on. And there, this is the question she asked you as to what different places we sang to. So these are the, other than just churches.
Yeah.
Then we began to sing for different conventions plus parties that were private parties and so on in that type of way, you see?
And you were also singing for churches at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time, see? Those are the different things.
Did you have a different name?
No, same.
You kept the same name?
Yes.
It wasn't a problem?
No problem. Not in the church and not then. I think... It was in that particular time that people had begun, you know, they were working. I mean, they were riding in the cabs. In other words, the economy wasn't quite as high then as it is now and so on. And people were able to, you know, get around and do their things. So I don't think it was a mental thing or a religious thing that you couldn't do but one thing.
Yeah.
That's why we were able to, you know, play another slave.
Mr. Brooks, would you?
Oh, I was born in Madison, Florida, and that was 1915, 4th of July. And my mother and father, well, let me put it this way, my father was a mason, but I mean a bricklayer, or if you want to put it that way. And he was going, the company that he was working for, while they went different places. So they, my mother and father and I, we traveled from Madison down to... a portion of Jacksonville for the first 2 or 3 months, he had a job to do. But when we got in Green Coast Spring, well, he had more work and had to work longer there than he had to do other places that he had worked. So there where they, I would say, start homesteading there. And we joined the church there, which is Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, Missionary Baptist Church, and my mother was very active in the usher board and choir. She could, I wished I could sing like her. And there we stayed in Green Coast Spring until I got approximately 14 and a half years old. But during that time, I was working in going to, oh, you know how boys work for different drugstores and so on and whatever. And of course, during that time, they had more farming than they're doing. now, you know, and I worked in the W.V. Stevens for, oh, and the time I was 9 years old until I was 14 and a half years old.
Did you, when you were a little child, did you sing a lot too?
Yes. We had a junior choir in the in Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, which I was a member. And also, I was a little, after I got 10 years old, we had a children organization within the BYPU system. And I become the little junior deacon and that type of thing. And when I left Green Coast Spring at 14 and a half years old, ooh, it hurt me so bad because I was so used to church activities as far as working are concerned. Only in church there, in the choir, we had a different little quartet there. Now, this is where the first quartet I had, which was the Mount Pleasant Jubilee Singers. And I organized that group from the choir, the different women that were singing in the choir. Yes. But I had so much other work to do as a little junior deacon. You see, you have to go around and see how the kids are going, and kids try to keep the kids out of the bed or whatever. And then on Sunday school, when we get there, we have a little meeting of what kids are not to do and so on, that type of thing. An awful lot of work to do. Yeah. But I certainly enjoy it because I didn't know anything else, other than the spirit. Well, at that time, it was only quartet singing. That's the only thing. I didn't have any special, at least to my knowledge, I didn't have any special. Now, then they didn't have a lot of, rhythmic type of spirituals as they had now, because they used to stand one place and hold your hand and doing beautiful harmony. Now, that's one thing we had to have, you know, in this situation.
And did you sing with music?
No, vocal. All vocal. I mean, just the plain, what you mean, a cappella, I mean. You know what I mean?
So yeah. No guitars, no...
No. I appreciate one thing. We had pretty good ears. If we heard something and liked it, then we jumped on it. Do it our way, though, you know.
Got enough tape to ask me. How did you learn songs? How did people learn songs from each other? Did you listen to the radio, or did you just listen to each other?
Well, you can get them from most any place now, as Mr. Wright said. When you're going along driving the cab, sometimes you may hear something on the radio, or you may hear something, someone singing something, or when you go to church, or the choir may sing a song you like. Well, if you like that song, you take it and change it in our way. In other words, rearrange it. You know. It's like I said, we're very creative as far as we're concerned of our style. And of course, Mr. JC and myself, we were somewhere, and Mr. Ripe, somewhere familiar with creation. If you hear something you like, you just put it in your way. And by the way, by the late Mrs. Ethel Davenport Bannister, she also helped us an awful lot in singing, because she was a piano player and she sang herself also. So.
Say somebody hears a new tune, what do they do? What's the first thing that you do?
Well, first thing you do, you're interested, and you observe it to see how it sounds. So you say, gee, that sounds good. Now, here's an example as of the day. Now, Mr. Jennings has a certain song that he sings in his choir in L.A., and I think he do a good job with it, so I like it. It has a different type of touch to it, and it puts a little spirit with it, you see? So it depends. Well, we've found now, since started reading music and so on, that there is a difference. Now, you take a lead sheet and you sing the song down, and all of a sudden you put it in your arrangement how you like to do it. Then you write out an arrangement for it, you see? Uh-huh.
Would there be always one person in the group that
would do it, or were you just somehow work together?
Well, that's the only way we've ever worked. That's the way we organized ourselves. By doing ear by ear at that time, or most of the time now, because we're more experienced now, I put it that way. But if I hear something and I like it, then I just sing it to the guys and say, what do you think of it? Oh, that's good. Then we may change one or two lyrics of it, so on. But that's the way we've always created our arrangements.
But so then when you go to, say, working out particular chords,
mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
I was testing the equipment. That you try one chord and then somebody, maybe the bass, try a different note and you try a different.
Right. Really, that's the way we've created our style. Of course, now, most of the things we have here, now I only had music of a few of them because we always acknowledge it. We're very knowledgeable of that. Well, we are, but I have. At this particular program, I have two new members who is just playing. Well, they know our style, but as they sing with us, no. But they seem to come on in just like that. Good. Yeah, they're coming on in very good.
When you were first starting out, when you're still here in Jacksonville, what were some of the favorite songs of the group, or did y'all have?
Well, as Mr. Wright says, a little wooden church on the hill, the gospel train, most any song, it wouldn't make any difference. Most of the songs we did with some, we used to do on the radio show, we had a variety of things. We used to sing, they used to just sing America folk tunes and so on, plus a spiritual hymn. In other words, divide some of the utility. And so we wouldn't be just doing one particular type of style, see? So we sing so many different type of songs. Even in America songs, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do any comic songs? But
yes.
Church, songs
yeah, that you can do in a church?
Yes,
we did that too. The Monk and the Bear, the Preacher and the Bear, and so on. We used to do things like that. But now, those type of songs are rather difficult, especially for ministers. They don't want to hear that type of songs.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. This is a particular, it is 4 decades, you know, and there's a difference. As people, kids grow up now and become ministers or whatever, they have a different idea about life and so on. That's the preacher in the bear, you know. Well, the preacher went hunting one day, you know, and it was on a Sunday morning, and he ran up on a bear. And he, of course, he wanted to talk to the bear, but the bear wouldn't want to talk. So what I mean, he outrun the bear. In other words, he was home before, he got home before the shadow got there. He was running so fast. I mean, it's very, I think it's comical, but... we just don't do that now. I mean, not unless now we're doing it on the air or doing it in there or somewhere else, you know.
Would that song be called, that song really isn't spiritual?
No, it's a comical song, and it's just a story about a preacher and a bear who got into it, and the bear just wasn't ready for what, the preacher wasn't ready for what the bear was. He had to get to getting, you know. So, we just do things that way. Well, that's why I imagine it in like that particular type, as of this type of day. I mean, in this particular decade, I don't know. But back there, it was more beautiful. It used to almost fall out because it was tickle, you know.
Were there a lot of songs about trains?
Well, as far as the gospel train, as far as that concerned, that's we. Didn't do anything about the old work songs and so on, and some we did, but not particularly. We did the thing about from Casey Jones doing his race, trying to make a time and so on, and that's about all we did about a train, I think, other than the gospel train. Oh yes, John Henry. Yeah, we did a lot about him, but then I wasn't thinking of him. I thought he was speaking about a train. No, you know, he was a railroad man, all right. And of course, the spikes that he drive are those I think it was 9-pound hammer, 10-pound hammer. So yes, we just do that. John Henry was, yes, we used to do those things.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
You sing that.
But,
and you did it in an acapella?
Yes, at that time. Uh-huh. We only, of course, after we got to Philadelphia and began to take music lessons and so on, then we began, we got a guitar player. His name was Abe Green.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, then we began to sing with music. No, no, sure didn't. Just gather a good ear and let's get to getting. Well, I'm so glad.
I want to keep you all. I know you want to get lunch and get rested. Walk around and see Ashley
Street. Ooh. That used to be a wonderful name to mention a long time ago. But I'll do it now just to see what it used to be and what it is now, imagine. Uh-huh. Oh, thank you.
So.
I hope so, too. And we're going to try to make our best, do our best anyway. Yeah.
Well, I think by the help of the good Lord, it'll turn out all right. I think it'll work out fine.